Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
...803-1045, The Zone, it's J-Mart and Ramon, hour number three of three. Man, 2 hours flies by.
It really has today.
We are now over our one-week anniversary. This is beginning of the second week.
Look at us.
Look at you still here.
Look at us.
Look at you not back on the field with the Steelers. Look at you.
And the way my Twitter was buzzing the other day, geez. Everybody thought I was going back. I told them, no.
Jeez.
We are here to stay, baby.
Yes, it's at J. Martin Ramon. He is Ramon Foster. Vol for Life, 11-year offensive lineman in the NFL with that Pittsburgh team. I'm Jason Martin at J. Mar Radio. Schaefer on Sports completes our Voltron. And we've had this question asked a lot. Sometimes I don't get up early enough to hear you from the start, so how do I hear you? Well, there's a podcast for that.
It is.
There's an app for that. It's 104.5 His Own app. Alexa? As well, the skill just says, hey, Alexa, play 104.5 The Zone. It'll never happen in my house because my wife doesn't allow Alexa because she knows that it's listening.
She doesn't want another woman in the house.
Well, the problem, yeah, that's a good line. The other problem there is it's just like, all right, dear, what about the other 700 devices, including our microwave that's also listening to us and sending everything to the National Security Administration?
I didn't want to go that route, but you said it now. I'll elaborate on it. They are listening. It's almost like people saying that, hey, they're trying to chip us up. Well, you remember in Step Brothers when he was like, can you make me a snack?
That's right.
He's like, look down at your hand.
Yeah, it's already there.
It's already there. It's your phone. That's the biggest chip we got.
That's right. But I still understand. Maybe you want one less device listening to you. Yeah, but that Alexa skill, real easy. Hey, Alexa, play 104.5 The Zone. Or, like I said, podcast. All you got to do is search for J. Mart and Ramon, and you'll get all our shows. You get all the hours. And you'll get the interviews set aside if you want to hear something again. That way, we make it easy for you to consume this show however you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, and share it with people. And we appreciate all the love that we've gotten over the last week. We got Andy Staples. He's going to join us every Thursday at 8:15. That's awesome. We're looking forward to talking to him about college football and Big Ten and what happened yesterday. But we haven't talked about it a lot here on this show. A reminder, Titans-Jags on Sunday.
Yeah.
Home opener, no fans, but we're hearing
soon
that probably will be the last game where there won't be fans. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I am definitely of the opinion that there should be some fans there this weekend, but at least if they're here by Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I'll say this too. There's nothing better, okay, than to get out of camp, finish preseason, and whether the first game on the road, yeah, that's cool. Like, I'm out of camp. I don't have to go. I don't have to see you every day, meaning my opposing defense. And when you get an opportunity to have that first home opener, the excitement that you see driving into the stadium, the tailgate, the grills, you drive by and you see tables full of adult spirits, okay? You see cornhole.
Are we talking about Slimer here, or are we talking about what kind of spirits are we talking about here?
People are having a good time before the games, okay?
I got you.
Did you just say that you see cornholes?
Yes.
Saucy nugs.
Saucy nugs.
Hey, I think I know what that line.
That is demerit.
There it is. Ramon Foster, demerit.
All the pregame traditions are going on. Kids throwing footballs, dads just having a blast, and you see people smoking cigars and having a good time. And it gives me chills just thinking about that drive into the stadium where you get an opportunity to perform in front of your home team. Man, I can't wait for the guys to be able to experience that because that's part of the show, too. We say, you know, man, I'll play anywhere. You know what? But I love seeing the fans. I absolutely love their interaction. You make a big play and that crowd is behind you. So hopefully, you know, we get to a point to where we get to full capacity. But the start in October, being able to have some in the stadium or at least have some outside the stadium on the drive-in, it gives me chills. And I hope you see what I see as I painted that picture for you guys right there.
That's what you do. That's what you do in radio. You paint word pictures.
Yeah.
That's what Ramon Foster's learning as we've moved into our second week of this show. It's just good to have anybody there. I don't think it's defensible that we have nobody there Sunday, but, you know, what's done is done. As long as we can get things back on track, that's going to be helpful, to say the least. I think just looking at some fans in Denver on Monday, 500 fans, I think, is all they had, which I thought was kind of crazy. But you look at college football, we're not seeing smoldering ash as a result of people being in these stadiums.
Yeah.
I don't think that if social distancing and masks work, my argument is the same. If those two things work, and look, I doubt the efficacy of masks, but I'm wearing one.
Yeah.
And social distancing, we're taking all these things seriously. If they work, then they work, right? Like, if they work, then we should be able to continue to do things, provided we're doing those things. That's been my problem. It's like, all right, so we're going to wear masks in the stadium, and we're going to be 6 feet apart. So if that's the case, then why can't we be in the stadium?
Yeah.
What's the point of wearing masks if they don't work? I'm not wearing a mask at home.
You know why? It's because nobody wants to blame if something goes wrong.
That's true.
That's the biggest part of it. And also, just in case, you do got to look out for the people who may be high risk. And hopefully through time, with the studies that the doctors and scientists are doing, that, hey, you're able to combat whatever those issues are with either a vaccine or at least a remedy at some point. You know, I guess it's a hold on until we get there type of moment.
If we get there, right? That becomes the other question.
Yeah.
It kind of happened right towards the end of our show yesterday about the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to spend a good bit of Andy Staples' conversation certainly talking about that. But they look bad. The conference looks bad. Yesterday they looked good because they put all these experts out there and they're specifically explaining what they've done, what the protocols are, what they've learned. All this kind of stuff. It sounded exactly the opposite of what it sounded like when they made the decision too fast and didn't seem to have any information for us other than a bunch of uncertainty.
You know what? I listened to their conference. They did say something, though. The Big Ten is a very smart conference.
They like to tell you that, too.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like went into their decision-making is, you know, they wanted to be on the right side of saying, hey, we were right and y'all were wrong, until you realize that, hey, you mind if I come back over again? You know, that's kind of what went on. And, of course, you know, we were talking to Ant Heron about it, and he was saying the same thing in the sense of, like, you know, the economics. You bring that up. The economics of what's going on.
Sure.
You realize what's, you know, that's the motivating factor, I'm sure, is a major motivating factor. You know, one of the spokesmen for their coronavirus task force for the Big Ten said that in it. And, you know, it was like the economics of it. It's like, well, yeah, you guys are losing money. You realize what – That line is going to look
losing 10 figures.
Yeah, like that's huge, you know, and it's for the operation because you got to realize salaries are still going to be paid out. Scholarships still got to be, they still have to be satisfied. And there's not just that, but you got to look at the everyday workers that's on that campus. Your janitorial services, you know, the people who clean the fields crew, like professors. There's a lot that goes into, you know, them being a steady machine and operating is what sports bring to it. And I don't want that to be the end factor, but you do it safely, you want to be able to get back into the show.
The pressure seemed to all be on the side of let them play. But the pressure that I saw growing is when you're watching other conferences play, that's when it becomes a problem. Because it's like, well, they're playing and nothing's happening. So what's our rationale here?
Yeah.
How are we going to continue to sell this when there's multiple lawsuits and there's parents of kids that have opted out for one reason or another that are still defending, we need to let them play. We need to let them make these decisions. It just became an untenable position to have. You can't just say you can't play because we're just not going to let you play.
Yeah.
Like, not when you're seeing everybody else play.
And, you know, it's a cool part of everything, too. Well, I guess you say a leader in this is seeing what the NFL has also done. They've traveled. They've played games. Some have had fans. Some have not. The tests, I think they said they might have had 7 people from this past weekend, but that might have been somebody in the staff. They didn't designate where they came from. And I think it was the Chiefs and Texans had 0 positives.
That's right. Actually, they put out another testing result. I have the email here in front of me. Mandatory testing results from September 6th through 12th. 40,479 administered tests to 7,437 players and team personnel. And 2 new confirmed positive tests among players, 5 among personnel. So 7 total.
Yeah. We got to ask.
You don't shut things down for that. Yeah. You just don't.
For two people also, were those guys that were signed off the street? I hate to say signed off the street, but were they like street free agents? Or was it somebody that didn't travel with the team this weekend and went out somewhere? The fact that they're able to contain it that fast.
Well, there was one last week. That was Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah. Well, we know about that one. I won't. That horse I will not beat, okay?
That's demerit.
Yes.
That's not that. Yes, that, a demerit for Isaiah Wilson.
I said I was for him already, so I'm looking forward to him getting on the right track.
We're rooting for him.
That's a steady demerit for you, okay? And
no, we're rooting for him here.
You're up, is all I'm saying. You're in the next phase of the demerit system.
I'm not. The demerit system as it was laid out, that's when things get reset, Ramon. That's how things work.
No,
all that happened yesterday, except for your Music City musical, that has to stay because it's so important to the community.
The Music City musical, you can't pick and choose here, okay? You're on the citation. This has got to be your second citation.
Woo! All right, we got Andy Staples coming up on the other side. Hopefully he won't get a demerit. It is 8:14 at J Martz and Ramon on Twitter, 104.5 The Zone. It's 8:20. It's 104.5 The Zone. It's Jason Martin. It's Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steel and Tennessee Vol. Not Tennessee Titan, as much as I'm sure they would have liked to have had you on the offensive line as long as you were in the NFL for 11 years.
Before they got it together, I mean, they built it the right way, though. We watched their O-line perform for sure as a team in Pittsburgh. And there are certain lines across the league that you just like, yeah, I watch what they do. Yeah, that's a good O-line, and I'm happy to be covering this O-line here, mm-hmm. man. Especially
for sure.
With the notoriety that we get now, and it's not just bad.
On Twitter, at JMart and Ramon. He's at Ramon Foster. I'm at JMart Radio. Welcome in Andy Staples. He's going to join us every Thursday at this time. He writes for The Athletic. He talks about food and occasionally spritzes in a little bit of college football for flavoring. Andy, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
So we're triggered right now because of this guy in Pittsburgh who I guess he's a radio host up there. Somebody needs to report him to Twitter. He's got his pizza topping power rankings. We're going to lead off with this. I know there's Big Ten stuff happening, but his pizza ratings is number 5, black olives, number 4, mushrooms, number 3, pepperoni, and then number 2, banana peppers, and 1, pineapple. Your thoughts?
He did that just to be controversial.
That's what I thought.
That's all it is. Nobody really loves pineapple that much. I mean, look, a Hawaiian pizza is a nice change of pace every once in a while, but no, you don't put that number 1. Pepperoni's the obvious number 1. Black olives, he's actually got too low. That's number 2. Then you're going to go with your sausage and your bacon and your other meat.
Yeah.
And you don't get to another vegetable for a while. Mushrooms are there, but they're down there.
He doubled down and said if they're having family pizza night, he orders his own and gets only pineapple or banana peppers. What world is that?
He's a psychopath. there's probably a clinical diagnosis. I don't have my DSM-5 in front of me, but I think there's banana peppers. So would it be pineapple and banana peppers, and
that would
nothing
be
else? Cheese, sauce, pineapple, banana peppers,
just banana peppers. I think he said as well, which I just I don't understand. I think he needs to be reported.
Banana peppers are a complimentary vegetable.
Yeah.
They are not the show.
That's right.
I have a saying. Who raised you?
Yeah.
Is what I have to ask him because nobody's ever heard of this.
Well, it's one thing to be a trailblazer. Like, there was a guy at some point who goes, you know what? I could put this bacon on some pizza.
Yeah.
That guy's a genius.
Yes.
The guy who goes, you know what? I want a pizza with just banana pepper. That guy's a psycho.
That guy needs to be taken off of social media. Like, somebody needs to report this guy to Jack real quick and get it taken care of.
I was triggered, okay?
Andy, what's going on with the Big Ten? We've seen for the last month, it's been so sensationalized on all sides, but they're going to play football starting on the weekend of the 24th. What was your reaction to it becoming official yesterday?
Well, I'm glad they finally got it over with. And, you know, I think we can all agree, whether you like the Big Ten better or the ACC better or the Big 12 better or the SEC better, that the Big Ten handled this extremely poorly, not necessarily for postponing, but for postponing when they did,
mm-hmm.
and then for being really vague and arrogant about it. Like, I talked to Diane Freiermuth yesterday. Her son, Pat, is a tight end at Penn State. He's going to be, you know, probably first-round draft pick. And her thing was, if you tell us why you're doing this, if you say, here are the reasons with regard to testing, here are the reasons with regard to potential heart issues down the road, here are the reasons with regard to community spread. If they've given them specifics, maybe the parents don't fight back the way they did, and maybe they're not playing right now. But they just wouldn't say anything. They were incredibly arrogant about the whole thing, and then when they realized they could look incredibly stupid if the ACC and the Big 12 and the SEC wind up playing a season and they don't, then all of a sudden, oh, daily testing. You realize every doctor for every league knew about daily testing before the Big Ten and the Pac-12 postponed.
Of course.
Yep. Everybody knew it was coming. Everybody knew when it was coming.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. By the way, Andy Staples brought to you by the Tennessee Education Lottery. They're proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more about programs funded by the lottery, visit tnlottery.com. Your comment about arrogance, Andy, is the one that I go to, because when they released that letter, we're not going to revisit this, but there's no specifics in it. Compare that letter and the way they acted that week to just how buttoned up and well-prepared they were yesterday. And it tells me they were flying with their heads in their rear ends on the 11th in a way that they absolutely did not have to.
And even the day it happened, there was an example of somebody being buttoned up about it, because the Pac-12 postponed the same day. And they're like, here, want to talk to a doctor? Here, want to talk to an athletic director? Here's our medical advisory board's report. Would you like to read the thing in its entirety? We'll put it on the internet for you. And so the Pac-12 gave you an example of how to do that and do it right, because you notice there wasn't a lot of pushback in the Pac-12. It was like, okay, we understand why you're doing this. And now what's interesting is once the Big Ten got cranked up yesterday, all of a sudden the Pac-12 was like, we got a problem here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the Pac-12 doesn't play in the fall, I don't think they play at all. Because the Big 12, Big Ten's not playing in the spring, they don't really have a Power Five partner there. So, I think the Pac-12 knew they needed to do something, and for them, and this is again why the Pac-12 is not taking nearly as much heat as the Big 12, as the Big Ten. The Pac-12 had government regulatory issues that they had to deal with in California and in Oregon. They had issues where they couldn't practice. It was hard for them to even lift weight. So they had to go to the governors of California and Oregon and say, listen, can we get a special exemption for this like you've given in California, given the Rams and the 49ers and the Chargers? And can we do the same things they did? Because, you know, there was a football game in Los Angeles on Sunday, and there was a football game in San Francisco on Sunday, and everything seemed fine. So could we maybe do this? And now it seems like the states are willing to let them do that.
A question I got for you is this. You know, with a lot of the kids opting now, you know, we saw a high potential first rounder, Penei Sewell from Oregon, say he was going to opt out. And now a bunch of the guys from the Big Ten are opting back in. The question I have is, do you think the NCAA is going to look into it, or at least the conferences or the compliance office will be looking into it? Let's say if a guy went out and got a line of credit, is that something we have to worry about? Or since this year really doesn't count for those guys and they're able to come back anyway, is that something we should be worried about as far as like NCAA sanctions coming down from guys who decided they were going to go train and not play since they said they weren't going to revisit it? Do we have to look forward to that type of stuff happening?
I just think the guys that are too far down the road with their training and they've taken, you know, quite a bit of stuff from their agent, I think they're just not going to come back. I mean, that's the thing. The guys you saw Wyatt Davis from Ohio State come back. Wyatt Davis opted out last week. You know, he hasn't been – like Michael Parsons from Penn State, he opted out. He actually opted out before the Big Ten postponed football. He opted out while they were planning to play a 10-game schedule. He's in Santa Ana, California, training on athlete's first dime. So is he going to come back? I doubt that.
Yeah.
But if it just happened, then maybe. I think we're still waiting to hear from Sean Wade from Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. I talked to his dad on my podcast yesterday, and we recorded it Tuesday night. And this was before the Big Ten announced, and he basically said, look, regardless of the Big Ten's decision, he's planning on signing with an agent Wednesday night. And then Sean said yesterday on ESPN he was going to give it another day before he figured out he selected an agent. He hasn't signed with him yet. So he could easily opt back in if he decides that's what he wants to do.
Andy, what are the biggest reasons? Is it Nebraska? Is it Ohio State? Does Nebraska get the most credit here for getting this back? Is it a couple of different schools? Who was it that really led this charge that made this happen?
Well, Nebraska was the first one to really come out strong and to just say, we're going to pit ourselves against our league. And they did that the day before the postponement. They knew it was coming. They tried to head it off by a lot of really loud saber rattling, and it didn't work. But they didn't stop there. They kept fighting. And then I think Ohio State really got into it. You know, Ryan Day was absolutely adamant about playing. Mm-hmm. He never stopped trying to make that happen. You know, James Franklin at Penn State, Jim Harbaugh, their presidents actually voted to postpone, but they didn't agree with that. So they were very outspoken. I think those are the ones. Iowa was one of the ones that voted against postponing, and they were very, you know, behind the scenes doing a lot of work trying to get things changed. So I think that those are the schools really that led the charge. And then you've got these parents groups that were, you know, continually putting pressure on the Big Ten. In Nebraska, they met with a lawyer. They ended up suing the Big Ten in the name of 8 Nebraska football players. And I mean, think about that they had to file a lawsuit,
right,
to get the Big Ten to admit there was even a vote. How sad is that if you're a conference with 13 public universities?
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. I mean, that just goes to, and Andy Staples is our guest. He writes for The Athletic. That just goes to, look, they're unelected, and they just seem like they're above the law, yeah. Right, to just kind of use that phraseology. And
But those university presidents in the public schools they're politicians, and they are beholden to the politicians in their state. And that's one thing that I'm not sure all of them realized, how much political pressure was going to come in both directions from this decision. And, yeah, I think that's why for the SEC and the Big 12 and for the Pac-12, really, it was easier. There was less pushback. There was less arguing, because from a political standpoint, those leagues are fairly homogenous. So it's not like this university president has to worry about his governor saying one thing while this university president has to worry about her governor saying another thing. It's not quite like that. They're going to get the same message. And the Big Ten, think about it. Bill Moose, the athletic director of Nebraska, always says it stretches from the Atlantic Ocean to the Wyoming border. He's not wrong. That's a lot of land and a lot of different kind of places. And so I think that was a piece of it too.
21-day suspension of play for positives, no bye weeks, shutdown threshold of 5% positivity rates. There's still a lot out here that needs to be kind of deciphered through, and things we're not going to see until they happen. What's your biggest question that's left to answer? What are you most curious to see how it actually plays out once they start playing?
When's the Ohio State-Michigan game? I want to see a schedule first. Remember, they gave us a schedule, but now they have to change it. So you're going to do that first, you're going to do that last, you're going to do that in the usual spot. I mean, like the SEC put the Iron Bowl on Thanksgiving weekend, where it usually is, but there's another game after it now. So I'm more into the practical questions. I'm done with the arguing. I'm ready to talk about football. Is Nebraska going to be any better this year? Is Phil Steele going to be right that Northwestern's the bounce back team of the year? Because they had a great defense last year that was kneecapped by a horrific offense,
mm-hmm.
but they still have a great defense, and they actually might have a functional offense. So that's one of those for the gamblers, I think, you know, more than anything else. But it's just, I'm excited because there's going to be real football to talk about, and maybe even the Pac-12 comes back too.
Mm-hmm.
Could we be feeling, normal might be the wrong word, but I'm going to go ahead and use it anyway. Could we be feeling normal by November?
Man, that sounds excellent. In 2020, you may have just, hopefully you just willed it into existence. The football you said you want to talk about.
I jinxed it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying not to use that word also. But the football that you've gotten to see, since we want to talk about football, what have you thought about the quality of play? Obviously, we haven't had any kind of real great marquee matchups or anything, but just what have you observed in these couple of weeks of games that we have seen?
It's all over the map. I mean, it really depends on what everybody was trying to do during preseason camp and how much preseason camp you could get in. You know, it's interesting because the NFL has, you know, the much more regimented testing. They had, you know, more strict rules about what you could do in practice, and they had homogenous rules about what you could do in practice. So the gameplay looked consistent across the league. What you see in college is really inconsistent gameplay because some people were doing this and some people were doing this, and some people had this many guys knocked out for contact tracing, so they couldn't really work it, you know, for this long. And I think as the season goes on, that's going to smooth out a little bit, but it's just very inconsistent, and it makes me wonder about different games. Like the next few weeks, we're going to have a lot of situations where you have a team playing a game for the first time against a team that has already played. And a good example for this one is UCF at Georgia Tech this weekend. So Georgia Tech has gone down to Florida State and won a game. UCF has not played yet. If this were a normal season and they were normally meeting on September 19th, we would have UCF probably as like a 13-point favorite. They are a 7.5-point favorite, and I don't know what they're going to look like. They had a bunch of opt-outs. You know, they have Dylan Gabriel, who's a fantastic quarterback. But will they be what they were last year? Because if they were what they were last year, they should go and beat Georgia Tech. But we don't know what they are. And Georgia Tech has played a game and handled, like, there was an instance in the Georgia Tech Florida State game, and I was there the other night. So Georgia Tech had three kicks blocked. And Jeff Collins said after the game, he said one of the drills he took out because of COVID protocols was live extra point field goal. So they had not kicked against the live defense yet. And you could tell it wasn't a case where that the kicker didn't have the leg. He was just, the trajectory coming off his foot was too low and it was getting blocked. And so you could tell they just went to him and said, hey, you're doing fine. You just got to get a little higher angle on it and it'll be fine. And he knocked through the game winner in the fourth quarter. But that's one of those things that they've now taken care of, that they wouldn't have realized was going to be an issue until they played a game. So what does UCF have going on there? And you're going to see that around the country in the next couple of weeks.
That's outstanding. I mean, that might even be playing a little bit in the NFL with all the kicks that were missed and some of the things that we saw over the weekend. You just can't simulate everything in practice, especially with these protocols. We're looking forward to having you every Thursday, Andy. Next week, we'll actually get into some SEC preview and stuff because they're going to be ready to play finally. We're getting there. I think the Pac-12 is going to play. Do you?
I do. I think they need to. I don't know if they're going to be able to play as soon as the Big Ten, but if they can, I mean, that's great because that would mean Oregon, which should be a really good team, if they win, then they would be considered for the college football playoff. So I'm a more the merrier kind of person. So if they want to come back, let's get them all back.
Amen to that. All right, Andy, we'll catch up with you next week. We appreciate
it. Thanks,
Andy. All right, see you guys.
Thanks. That's Andy Staples. He's awesome. He writes at The Athletic. He talks about food a lot.
Yeah, I saw that.
There are people commenting on the pizza issue right now. So I disagree with you're going too extreme when you're saying fruit should not be on pizza.
Yeah, I like pineapple on, especially if I get like jalapeno on a pizza. I'll set that with a little pineapple. I'm okay with that.
I like the Hawaiian. I like to go with the ham and pineapple myself. Andy's at Andy_Staples. We should say again, thanks to the Tennessee Education Lottery for making him possible for us. They're proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more about programs funded by the lottery, website is tnlottery.com. We'll tell you, we got a Jag coming on the show.
Yes.
Tomorrow, we'll tell you who that is when we come back. And we need to talk about what happened to Ramon's unmentionables a few days ago. Courtesy of your children. That is next. It's at J Martin Ramon on Twitter. It's 8:39. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Saucy Nugs.
Quimini right here.
Smooth.
Who else want to? With Hollywood Cole.
Man. 3,000.
That's right. J March and Ramon, 8:46 a time here on 104.5 The Zone. He's at Ramon Foster. I'm at J Mart Radio. We're at J March and Ramon. I just want to keep it rolling.
Horns,
I love
right
the horns,
there.
Man. It's my favorite.
I need Andre 3000 to drop something. Outkast do something, man.
It's been a minute.
You know what's so cool about Outkast is they made the South cool, and as far as music, rap music, hip-hop music, before it was even a thing. When they went up, what was it, the Source Awards in New York, and he said, y'all need to listen up because the South got something to say. I think that goes in a lot of different ways for us. And as far as us being from the South and us being in the South right now, sports, I feel like some of the best athletes come from the South.
Yeah. No doubt.
And as far as music, especially the hip-hop, New York had it for a very long time. If we can talk about pop culture on this show also.
New York and then L.A., of course, you had the East-West thing. But then, like, I think you're right. I think Outkast hit, and then you found out New Orleans had something to say.
Yes.
Yeah, Lil Wayne and No Limit stuff.
No Limit.
And Mystical.
And then it went to Atlanta, and it hasn't left. It went from Atlanta to Florida, New Orleans to Texas.
Yeah, Florida too, that's right.
We haven't let go of the music world, and I am a fan of us being a representation of everything in this country right now as far as music, because it's starting here now.
Speaking of Florida.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the program.
Oh, man.
Hashtag VFL, former Jacksonville Jaguar, Big John. Big John Henderson on the program tomorrow.
Former Vol, man. There are certain people, if you are a fan of Tennessee, then you love your native John Henderson, who's a Pearl Cone alumni, who is a Tennessee Vol alumni, who was from this city, loved this city, and certain guys that went to that school that I'm in awe of, okay? Al Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
John Henderson, okay? Those are the two that always – and, of course, Peyton. Peyton is easy, but – having John Henderson be a force, man. He was one of those local heroes. You're like, man, that guy right there. And if you're a fan of him and of our show, tune in tomorrow, because it'll be a lot of good stuff coming from him and his relationship or his tenure in Jacksonville also.
Ramon, what happened with your son a couple days ago?
Okay. So
I'm just going to interview you right now.
Here. Saucy Nugs.
Yeah, I saw it pop up on our Slack chat, and we're just like, ooh, ouch, guys.
Here I am. So my kids are doing baseball right now. They're getting pitching lessons right now in Goodlettsville by an awesome coach in Hendersonville. And let me just tell you, I'm playing catcher, okay? And this coach, Joy Hill, is his name. He brought in knee shins for me because I've got popped in the shins a few times, okay? And he was nice enough to bring them. And my youngest son is up there, and he's working on his pitches. And this ball bounced short. And I always say, hey, a lesser athlete would have did this or did that. You know, I've always found a way to recover if something bad happened in sports. And my son ball dropped, and it spun. And here I am sitting on the bucket, shins covered up, okay? I don't have to worry about my shins getting hit. And let me tell you, the hit that I took to my midsection, okay, it hurt me. Okay, it like figuratively and literally hurt me. All right, and I don't know if I'm stepping in to be the All American Dad anymore to catch fastballs for my kid. And I was lucky it was my youngest, because he's not throwing as fast as my oldest. I question sitting on that bucket now, is all I'm saying. That's,
you said your midsection.
Yeah, no, it was a family.
Okay,
two of them.
So
man.
We're not talking about the bread basket.
No, we're not talking about the bread basket. We're talking about the part.
We're talking about the two offensive tackles.
Yep. If you get hit in the stomach, well, if you get hit in them, you feel like you want to throw up.
And saucy nugs.
Yes, those. Okay. It was a long day for me. If you were an All-American dad and your kid have abused you, okay, whether it's throwing a football in your face, hitting a fastball back towards you, hey, tweet at us about that, because I don't want to feel alone in what I had to go through.
It's tough, man.
And you went through something.
I go through it on a day-to-day basis.
You just tell us
look,
about.
Look, man, Margot, our schnauzer, she turned six. I guess maybe she turned 6 months old in like 2 days. So she's going to have a rough next week because it's time to take her to the vet for a special procedure. Go ahead and clue her into it while she's listening to the program right now.
Jeez.
Are you like me, folks? Does your dog post up on your sacks?
Yeah.
Like
sack!
I don't know whether to give you a demerit or applause. I think I've just...
Maybe she know you're about to take something away from her, and she's just going ahead and getting her payback.
No, this has been for months. Like, she'll jump on the couch, and it's just beeline, and she just posts up on him and looks at me. And I feel
disrespected.
It's like she knows what's there.
Yeah,
She goes after the drawstring and everything I wear. She knows what's there.
They're smarter than we give them credit for.
I don't know how to fix this problem.
You are.
That's what she said. Abby, my wife even suggested maybe we need to get a supporter for you.
You know what?
I'm about to sit around with a cup because of my 12-pound dogs.
Look, remember, if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Go ahead. Go ahead. That one's...
That's a great line. That's from Greece. What are you talking about?
That is demerit.
Yes. Find yourself, okay?
That's on the list right
but
there.
We're animal lovers here. My dog Zeus is a Rottweiler, man. Best dog I've ever had in my life, man. And he's a part of our family. And, hey, at least it wasn't him that hit me because 100 pounds jumping on me like that.
Is your Rottweiler 100 pounds?
Yeah, he's like 107, which is really healthy for a dog his size because of all the hip dysplasia and stuff like that.
Shane Bowen, I just saw this outside linebacker coach for the Titans, of course, commenting on Vic Beasley this morning. Ultimately, it comes down to health, and when he's comfortable, when he's healthy, he's going to be thrown into the fire. You hear that? That basically means soon, but probably not yet, right?
Not yet. And as we said in our early segments, too, he's the guy that they're trusting that when it's time for him to go, he's going to be a true pro about it. And giving him time also to get healthy is huge because the added stress of going out to perform with your teammates, you can go out there too soon and be right back at square one again. I've been there before. I've seen other guys be there before where it's like, are you healthy? Coach got to ask, are you healthy? And, of course, you're going to say, yeah. It's just like guys getting hit or they get a concussion. Like, it's hard sometimes to say, hey, I need to come out because you don't want to feel like you're letting your guys down. So the fact that they're taking their time with Vic Beasley right now and allowing him to get fully healthy and not leaving it up to him to say, hey, I'm ready to go. Because if you ask any competitor, you guys will know this too. If you ask me, can I go? I'm probably going to tell you, yeah. So the fact that the training staff and his coaches are allowing him to get 100% correct, I think we as a fan base got to allow this to mature itself and watch him grow as he get on the field.
Battle of Ohio tonight. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Who do you like? Think Browns get right tonight?
I'm anti-Brown, so I want to see Burrow do his thing.
I do, too. I want to see Burrow play well tonight. We'll see. We thank Rocky Boyman, Anthony Heron, Andy Staples. You missed any of it, podcast it. Just look for J Martz and Ramon. You can get everything we do. Midday 180 is next. John Henderson, Mike Keith tomorrow on the program. Enjoy all the sports tonight. We'll get you all set for the weekend tomorrow. And remember, your mic's always hot.